Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Ascend forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows? Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ezekiel 36, the verses 21 through 38. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 21. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. And thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the way cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has returned us and our children to thy courts on this Lord's day. Then thou hast refreshed the earth with showers. We may thank thee therefore, our Lord. May it also rain in thy house. The prophet of old has declared, where thou hast promised, I will pour water upon them that are thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. Pour my spirit upon thy offspring, and my blessing upon thy seed, and they shall grow up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. The one shall call themselves the Lord's, another Jacob, and another shall surname themselves Israel. Lord, that blessing has been fulfilled so richly on the day of Pentecost. It is a blessing that we and our children need, personally, thy church, and in the community. To that end, Lord, may thou work wonderfully and powerfully in this evening hour upon the preaching on the day of Pentecost. Then 3,000 were pricked in their heart and were given to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then thou was added 3,000 jewels to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. Ah, Lord, may thou do it also in this evening hour. To that end, leave us not cold, untouched, unmoved, unfeeling, but impress divine realities upon all our hearts. To that end, and go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and also in the homes, those who were lawfully hindered, those with children, when they may listen along. Ah, Lord, Thou hast declared that by the foolishness of preaching Thou shalt save some. Bind the matter upon the hearts. Grant those vehement exercises concerning the coming of Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy name. Then on the day of Pentecost, then Thy church has received Pentecostal blessings. Wilt Thou remember Thy children? Lord, do bless Thy holy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Wilt Thou grant many ears and hers? Wilt Thou bless Thy holy word in the midst of the family circles? Help fathers and mothers to that end. May their eyes be upon Thee. Bless Thy holy word in the midst of our Christian school, the remaining weeks of this school year. Lord, remember our denomination. It is a special week when the curatorium hopes to meet. Wilt Thou grant a mouth to speak, ears to listen, and hearts to discern. We commend unto Thee the instructors and the students with the exams. Remember the student with the trial sermon for the intent that he may become a candidate in the midst of the congregations. May it all be carried upon the wings of prayer. Also the mission board hopes to meet. And then we commend Thy servants, the team, unto Thee. May the labors be richly blessed. And Lord, Thou knowest the great need as servants for Thy vineyard, a church worker for the mission field, and teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto Thee the persecuted church. Wilt Thou remember the Jewish people? May the veil be taken away. Remember all those that may bring Thy word to the ends of the earth. Remember Thy church in the country where there is war, mourning, suffering, destruction. Wilt Thou uphold them? May they be given to cry unto Thee, and that under these solemn circumstances, that Thy church may be given to experience that Thou art the King upon the throne, and even under tribulations, that they may be given to make Thee great. That was experienced on the day of Pentecost, that Thy church was given to extol Thee to the highest, to speak of that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord, remember the nations of the earth in these dark and solemn times, where sin is sin no more, so little guilt, the call to repentance is so little heard. Ah, grant unto Thy church to be given to see the signs of the time, to be given to turn, to repent, and need the pardoning of their sins in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. By renewal, we commend unto Thee the family, whom thou wast blessed with two children, wilt thou remember the siblings with their blessing, and wilt thou remember all the family circles with the great responsibilities. Lord, remember the sick and afflicted once more. We commend unto thee the seriously sick father in his failing condition. We commend him unto thee for body and soul. Remember his dear wife. Wilt thou uphold her? Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the many sick relatives, young and old. The circumstances are known unto thee. We commend them all unto thee. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, difficulties of the body, difficulties of the mind. It is all known unto thee. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the family circles. May love abound. Where it is not so, wilt thou grant repentance. What has been separated, bring it together according to thy holy word. Remember all those that struggle with temptations and addictions. May they be found oftentimes on their knees, using the means. Lord, do remember all the mourning ones amongst us, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children, dear ones, to the grave, where those places remain so empty, so sorely felt, grant a place at thy footstool. Lord, provide for our daily bread, for the family circles. Then we further commend the needs with the rain received, the great need in the realm of nature. We lay it before thee, the crops, the animals, that there may be food for men and for beast. Lord, wilt thou dwell richly amongst us. Grant thy special blessing. Grant tokens of thy favor. And what greater tokens could thou grant when those Pentecostal blessings would be experienced among young and old? To that end, anoint with fresh oil from above. Remember all the listeners. Wilt thou take away the wandering and the worldly thoughts? Wilt thou bind the devil? May it be an unforgettable service. Lord, by renewal we have to confess our sins. They are great, but they are manifold. Wilt thou look down upon us in mercy? Our only hope, our only expectation. May our help in this evening be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste. And what follows, Psalter 164, the first three stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ezekiel 36, at the verses 35 through 38. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Our text words speak of a rich portrayal of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, with five thoughts in the first place: the desperate need of the Spirit. Secondly, the rich blessings by the Spirit. Thirdly, the sure evidence through the Spirit. Fourthly, the bestowed prayer for the Spirit. And fifthly, the blessed increase by the Spirit. A rich portrayal of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. The desperate need in verse 35. The rich blessings also in verse 35. The sure evidence in verse 36. The bestowed prayer in verse 37. And the blessed increase by the Spirit in verse 38. As first, the desperate need of the Spirit. Beloved congregation, the prophet Ezekiel was taken into captivity in the year 597 before the birth of Christ, the second captivity when many important people, also tradespeople, were taken to Babylon. In the beginning of this prophecy, then we read of the 30th year, believed to refer to the age of Ezekiel. He was of the tribe of Levi, of the house of Aaron. Thus it would be the age when he would be a full priest to his 50th year. Then how different it has went in the life of Ezekiel than he had hoped and expected. He had hoped when he was 30 years old, he would be in the full service of the temple in Jerusalem, and now to be in that faraway country. Then also in our lives, and then it does not always, many times not go as we have planned. But the great privilege of the prophet, that in that faraway country by the river Kibar, that the Lord has appeared unto him. Then the Lord, in his great mercy, has given the prophet Jeremiah for the inhabitants at home to call that people to repentance. But now the Lord, in his mercy, has also given the captives that were in Babylon a prophet to speak of the oracles of the Lord. The book of Ezekiel can be divided into two parts, because the first 32 chapters, then the prophet is given to warn and to call that people to repentance and to declare that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, but that people in Babylon, they still had the hope, because how would the Lord allow the beautiful temple and the city of Jerusalem to be destroyed? It would be because of the sins of the people of Israel. And now in chapter 33, verse 21, then we read a solemn fact, that one that was escaped from Jerusalem, he has come to the prophet and told him that the city is smitten and that many have been carried away by captives, away captives. Thus the hopes of the children in captivity that they could soon return, they have come to an end. But then the Lord has commanded the prophet also to declare that there would come a time, has already done so in the former chapters, but in the second part of this prophecy, then the prophet is given to speak of the wonderful works of the Lord, of the restoration which he would grant to the captives, and that is a type of the living church of Jesus Christ. Then in this chapter, in the first 15 verses, we read of the mockery of the enemy. The Lord has heard it. He was jealous for his name. In the verses 16 through 20, the reason why the people were in captivity, it was because of their sin, and they refused to repent and hearken to the Lord. And now the portion we have read together, and then we read of the multitude of the tender mercies of the Lord, where we read in verse 21, but I have pity for my holy name. And then already in the Council of Peace, then the Lord, in his great mercy, has chosen a church, given a son as the mediator, and decreed the means, the manner, how that church would be gathered. Then in verse 22, then the prophet has related in the name of the Lord, where the Lord has declared, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned. Thus then it is clear that the Lord does all things for his honor and for his glory. Then in this chapter and the following chapter, then the prophet is given to richly speak of the wonderful, the loving, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. In verse 25, the sprinkling of clean water. Verse 26, that the Lord shall give a new heart. That the Lord, by the work of the Spirit, in the moment of regeneration, then he takes that stony and hard heart away. I hope there may be many that have trouble with that hard and stony heart, sometime amazed how hard we can be, but yet a prayer unto the Lord, the wonderful work of the Spirit, which the Lord has done in such a great way on the day of Pentecost, that the Lord has taken 3,000 stony hearts out of people and have given them a heart of flesh. And now a sign of those that have truly received a heart of flesh, that shall be a people that shall complain much about a stony heart, and that they shall lay it before the Lord and be given to beg for a spirit. And we have heard it in verse 20, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land. Then many times we find in the prophets, when the prophets are prophesying of the return of the captives, of a wonderful work, that they are given to speak of the way that the Lord holds with his people in the way of conversion. And then we read, then there shall be a people, then they do not become Pharisees. Ah, that people, they have much trouble with pride. But then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Then concerning the returning of the captives, more so that wonderful work of grace, those 3,000 that were pricked in their heart, then they had one thing to glory in, and that is free and sovereign grace, where the Lord has made a difference where there was no difference. And now in our text words, then we have a beautiful portrayal of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. And then first, the desperate need for the work of the Spirit. And then boys and girls, then the prophet, he mentions two things that are not strange to us. Then in the first place, a land that has not been tilled, perhaps no farmer, also a land, because we read in this chapter of famine, thus you can picture it, sometime when you drive down the road, then you see a field that is parched, maybe sown a little green, where it desperately needs rain. Then you see cattle, cows, and calves on pasture looking for a blade of grass, that you even feel sorry for them. And that is now the picture that the prophet uses of natural man, his deplorable and desolate condition, that he is as a dry field, very barren, And many times in such a dry field, then we find many thistles and thorns and other weeds. It is a very sorry sight, unfruitful and unprofitable. And that is now a little picture, not the true picture, because who can declare the deplorable condition of lost mankind? Then beside the devil, there is not a more miserable creature. In our text words, is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Then in the second place, then the prophet is given to mention a city. If we would go to the country of Ukraine, then there would be many towns and many cities. That would be a very sad sight. Much destruction, many houses no more, many inhabitants that have fled. Maybe we would meet a few in mourning, shedding many tears. And so we read of a city that is waste, uninhabited, desolate, and ruined. Another picture of fallen man, mankind, with a stony heart. John Bunyan in his Holy War. Have you read that book, young people? Then he has written that in the universe there was a beautiful city called Mansoul. And in the middle of that city was a beautiful palace. That was the soul. And that city had five gates, and no man could enter that city without permission from inside. But Ebolus, the devil, has tempted our first parents, and now that beautiful city has been ruined. Adam and Eve driven out of the paradise. But now the prophet is given to declare the wonderful, the rich blessings upon the church. For the Lord. Maybe there are a few souls in this evening hour when we hear these descriptions, a land so barren, so dry, so unfruitful. When they examine their heart, what a weeds, what an evil. When they consider the city, when the Lord uncovers and shows who we are, our deplorable situation and condition, and our many sins, then the question can arise in the heart, can now such a one as I be really saved? The devil can tell such a one, you have sinned too much, you have sinned too long. When you consider your former life, the lost opportunities, not listen to your conscience. But, our text words declare, is there anything impossible for the Lord? The almighty and loving work of the Holy Spirit. And to that end, we read in our text, the rich blessing by the Spirit, because we read, and they shall say, because when the Lord works, it is noticed, can only remain hidden for so long. We have heard out of Acts 2, what has taken place in that room with those 120, and that it was noised abroad, and that the multitude has come to see and behold, and that Peter was given to speak, thus it shall not remain hidden. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Thus what a difference. A barren land, thorns and thistles, a sorry sight. And now the prophet, when he describes the wonderful work of the Spirit, that it shall become as the Garden of Eden. And boys and girls, you know that was paradise. And what a beautiful garden that was. Oh, in that garden, everything was given to praise the Lord. Adam and Eve, they were given to walk with their God. And now a garden that needs a planter. That is the heavenly gardener. That is the King of the Church. And he works by his Holy Spirit. And then that garden is planted. The seed is sown. Was sown on the day of Pentecost. What a rich fruit it has bore. And then there are different plants, vegetables, flowers. Undoubtedly, boys and girls, many of you, there is a garden that you help father and mother, must be tilled, must be orderly. Then you try to plant it in straight rows. And what else? Oh, what a work to keep the weeds out. And our garden that becomes profitable, a food for the family, can also be that mother says, children, you must go to the garden and cut some beautiful flowers that we may place in a vase. So the heavenly gardener we read thereof in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, awake, O north wind, and blow thou south wind upon my garden, that the spices may flow thereout. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his fruits. And the gardener is so free, the one when they are young, the other when they are old. Then from the garden, from the church here below, they are taken into the church triumphant, where they may perfectly praise the Lord, and where they never have to complain of a dry land and of a stony heart. Then further, then the prophet describes the work of the Holy Spirit, then that city that has been ruined, that city that is lying waste, then that city shall be rebuilt, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited, and that has taken place with the return of the captives. They have built a second temple. Nehemiah was used as an instrument, and that the ruined walls were rebuilt, that the gates and the doors were set up, watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. And then we read that many have dwelt within Jerusalem. Oh, what precious things we read in Zechariah 8, the verses 4 through 6, of a time of an inhabited city, the wonderful work of the Lord. Zechariah has prophesied in chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and that there would be a time that the streets of Jerusalem would be full of boys and girls playing in the midst thereof, and old men and women leaning on their staff, that they would be given to behold those playing children with great delight, the blessings of the Lord. And then those cities, they shall be fenced, there shall be watchmen, and that cannot remain hidden the wonderful things of the Lord. And then concerning our text words, first personally, the church, also a nation, do I not read in Psalm 33 verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. And in such a country, then there are matters that shall prevail, then there shall be truth, there shall be justice, there shall be liberty, there shall be compassion and hope. In former days, there were many countries where God's word had a great and central place. Alas, alas, then also our country has departed so far from the Lord. Our third thought, the sure evidence through the Spirit. We have said on the day of Pentecost that wonderful work that could not be hid. So it is also the work of conversion. It is true. In the beginning, then there can be so many riddles and so many questions, and that people can be so silent with their lips, oh, not in the inner chamber. Oh, there you hear them beg, and there you hear them cry, and then they are given to speak more with their life than with their lips. But there shall also come a time, because they read in Isaiah 43 verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, the verses 16 through 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. It shall become evident. Sometime the text is mentioned, because there is a religion in this day that speaks of lofty things, but their life, the garden, the city, does not make us jealous. And then sometime, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 is mentioned, that man looketh on the outward things, and the Lord looketh on the heart. That is true. The Lord is the discerner of the heart. But in that text, it does not say that the Lord does not also notice our outward life. The Lord beholdeth everything. And now in this chapter, then there is special mention made of heathens. That word is mentioned 15 times in this chapter. There is no chapter in the Bible when the heathen is mentioned so often. And now we read in verse 36, then, after verse 35, the wonderful works of the Lord. Then, that means that not only in the family circle and in the church, but also in the community and the world, it shall be noticed. I'll read of the revivals. That is profitable. That is necessary. That can make us so jealous, congregation. Oh, with a burning heart and with a prayer, Lord, wilt thou do it in our day. We think of 1734, 1740, the revival in the New England colonies, also Scotland, England, other places upon the earth. We think of the mid-1850s. The Lord has also wrought wonderfully many places upon the earth. And with those revivals, then it was seen by the world, had effects, places of vanities were closed, effect in government offices, the wonderful works of the Lord. Then the heathen that are left round about you, it even implies that there were heathen left. But when the Lord does a wonderful work, then many out of the world, because then the church is the light and the salt of the earth, and then many out of the world, when they are given to see those wonderful things and the blessings that the church experiences, and then the Spirit shall also draw those out of the world. We think of the book of Esther, when those in the dominion of Ahasuerus, when they have heard the special providential dealings of the Lord with the Jews, and when another decree was made that the Jews could defend themselves, and then we learned that there were many that have joined themselves unto the Jews. And so we read, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know, that word know, that is not only with the mind, but that is in the way of perception and beholding, that they are given to see. When we read the history of the church, also the early church, when the apostles have preached the gospel, and when many have joined themselves to the church, then the heathens, they have kept a very close eye, considered how it was with husbands and wives, whether they loved each other greatly, how it was in the family circles, whether boys and girls, sons and daughters, honored their parents. Then they have noticed when he had a Christian servant that he excelled the heathens. Then they have considered the business practice of Christians. And then they were given to see the wonderful work of the Lord, that it was a precious and a good fruit. And now we read, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord. How did the heathen now know the way of the name of the Lord? Because the heathen, they knew of their gods, of a higher supreme being. But that name Lord, all in capital letters, that was the name that was given to Israel. Exodus 3 verse 14, I am that I am. Thus that name of Lord, that was not known to the heathens. But now we read in our text, about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. That speaks of the testimony of the church. Oh, when we read on the day of Pentecost, where the apostles were given to preach and to exalt that precious mediator. Oh, the preaching was so honest, given to declare whom ye by wicked hands have slain, he has become Lord and Christ. Shall know that I, the Lord, build their own places, and plant that was desolate, the wonderful work of the Spirit. Let us first sing. Psalter 442, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Our gracious God has laid His firm foundations on Zion's mount, the court of His delight. Her gates of splendor bathed in heavenly light. He loves far more than Jacob's habitations and what follows. 442, 1, 4, and 5. A rich portrayal of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. The desperate need, the rich blessing, the sure evidence, and now the bestowed prayer. We read in verse 35, "And they shall say," spoken by God who cannot lie, "thus it shall certainly take place." And then in verse 36, "The heathen shall know, and I will do it." And now what? The Lord has promised it. What must the church now do with His word? With a rich portrayal of what the Lord shall do, He shall do it. He will do it. Then the Lord has given instruction that we turn His word into prayer. "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel." It is specifically mentioned two places, in chapter 14, verse 3, and in chapter 20, verse 3. Ezekiel still had the privilege that the elders have faithfully come unto him, listening to the word of God, that they were inquiring. But we read in verse 14, in chapter 14, in chapter 20, that the prophet has declared that they need not to inquire, because it was in a hypocritical way they refused to repent. We live in a day where there are many that tell us that they have a need and a desire for the gospel, and the gospel needs to be preached in its riches and in its fullness, a rich Savior for a poor sinner. But the same as in the days of Ezekiel, we even read in chapter 33, verse 12, 33, verse 32, "Thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, one that plays well on the instrument." And then those elders have listened, but they did it not. Thus concerning those elders, they had a desire that the prophet may tell them of the wonderful works of the Lord in the way of deliverance, but they have not repented. But now in our text, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel." And that implies two different matters. In the first place, then, the Lord is declaring that it is the ordained way that the Lord has given in the midst of His church to receive blessings, special blessings. Then the Lord has exhorted His church to pray without ceasing. It is the general way that the Lord holds with the child of God and with His church. When He has decreed to give a special blessing, that He sets them a praying. That has been realized and exercised in that early Pentecostal church between the ascension of Christ and the pouring out of the Spirit, and that they were together with one accord and one place. Thus, congregation, when we hear these rich blessings, then we hear our calling and to ask the Lord for a Spirit, because for that early church it was by the Spirit that they have asked for that special fulfillment. That we may tell the Lord, my unconverted fellow travelers, tell the Lord then in this evening that you are a waste howling desert, that you are a city that is so ruined, where it seems so hopeless, no desire, no longing. But tell the Lord that you have heard in this evening that he will be inquired of the mighty God of Israel to do it for them, to be given to ask for that one thing needful, to experience the precious things of the Lord. When the Lord begins, then we learn much of that barren wilderness. Then we learn much of that desolate city. The Spirit teaches that with all their efforts to make that garden presentable to the Lord and to the city, that it becomes such a hopeless case, and yet a people that cannot miss the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this, that is a particular blessing, the blessings which are spoken of in the foregoing verses. It is so necessary for the church that our confessions, that our repentance, and that our prayers, that they become so particular. I will be inquired for this. We can multiply it out. The one, this. The other one has an other, this. Can also be concerning lawful desires in our life. But our text, it concerns the wonderful and powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, in the first place, an exhortation, the way ordained that the Lord grants blessings to his church, and that is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father. But when we read, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, then the Lord is declaring his wonderful work, and that he shall grant the spirit of prayer and supplication, that he shall bind the matter upon the heart, lay the burden upon the shoulders, give the freedom at the throne of grace, and to experience that the Lord, that he gives prayer, that he hears prayer, and at his time that he answers prayer. He will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Then they are given to inquire at the throne of grace, and given to inquire, open the word of God, that speaks of a close and dependent life, and then to wait patiently upon the Lord, to notice his divine providence, and ask the Lord to be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. The blessed increase by the Spirit. I will increase them with men like a flock. Boys and girls, you know what a flock is. A flock of sheep. That is many, not one or two, but that is a great number. And now we read of three things. First, of a flock Christ is declared in John 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they must also be brought, they shall hear my voice. There shall be one shepherd and one flock. Thus in our text words we read of the flock of the good shepherd. And boys and girls, who is now the good shepherd? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given his life for the sheep, that was proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. Then in the second place, as the holy flock, that speaks of sanctification. And that is through Christ, is the work of the Spirit to sanctify his people. And then thirdly, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. Then the prophet is given to declare, to describe in the solemn feast, then many sheep, many animals, they were brought to the city of Jerusalem to be sacrificed. I even read of King Uzziah that at a certain time 33,000 animals were sacrificed. Thus a great number, they would be united. They would have the same desires and longings to come up to Jerusalem to commemorate the wonderful things of the Lord. And in a flock, when we have a flock of sheep, boys and girls, and we would go to a sheep farmer, and there would only be old sheep, then I think you would have a question for that farmer. Then you would say, "Farmer, I see that you only have old sheep. There are no middle-aged sheep, and I do not see any lambs that were born this year, farmer." If that continues, then your sheep, then your flock is going to die out. Do you hear, congregation, what is so necessary? That young and old, John has spoken in his epistles, babes, children, young men, and fathers in grace. Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. What a wonderful text. What a wonderful promise. And what do we now think in this evening? Maybe that already has been your question. Is that now possible? Let us first state personally. Can be those souls where it is so barren, so dry, so quiet. Is it now possible for that revival? Oh, concerning the unconverted, where it feels I am but a thistle with sharp thorns, is there anything too wonderful for the Lord to even read? In Isaiah 55, verse 13, "For a thorn there shall come up a fir tree, and for the briar a myrtle tree. And it shall be for the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Concerning that impossibility, then we read in verse 37, when the prophet in a vision, he saw a large deep valley, many bones, skulls, legs, fingers, bones all over the place. Very many and very dry. And then the Lord said unto me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And then the prophet had a good answer. O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said, unto me prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. May it please the Lord in his tender mercies to remember us and our children in the latter days of the earth, and fulfill our text. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of wonderful things. And thou wast said, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Wilt thou grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication? Wilt thou watch over us in this week, in the home, the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Remember everything that has been planned for this week. The meetings, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer. Remember also on the coming Lord's Day, when the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered, our Lord. Wilt thou grant a week of preparation to the parents, that they may be found on their knees, and that they may inquire of the Lord God of Israel, that thou may work mightily also among those little children, the family circles. Lord, by renewal, we commend unto thee the very sick father, for body and for soul. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. We may acknowledge thee for a Lord, another Lord's Day, some words to speak. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 221, the three stanzas. Great Shepherd, O leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows? Psalter 221, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.